Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The topic for our study today is a sanctified vessel. I taken from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 to 23. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 to 23. When man was first created, he was created without sin. That is why when after man was created, the Lord says, well, it is very good. Man was the apex of God's creation. Sadly, man transgressed against the covenant of works. He was commanded not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But he fell into the serpent's deception. He ate of the fruit. And because Adam sinned against God, and so therefore, the whole of mankind plunged into sin. And the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. Why is that so? Because God, the creator of this world, is also God that is holy and just. And when we say that God is holy, we are saying that he is above all his creation, and that he is also without sin and cannot tolerate sin. And so because man is now plunged into sin, every man is now conceived as a sinner. And so therefore, if man's sin is not washed away, he will now be separated from God. But we are so thankful that the God of the Scriptures is also a God that is most merciful and kind. He is a loving God. And so the Bible tells us that God established what we call the covenant of grace. And he made the way of salvation possible. And what is the way of salvation? Well, the way of salvation is through Christ Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, who came to this world to deliver us from our sins, that whosoever would repent of his sin and believe sincerely from his heart that Christ Jesus has died on the cross, and then he was buried, and then he was risen again from the dead for the justification of our sins, well, that person shall be saved. He shall be released from the chains of sin. And now that he is released from the chains of sin, he is given the Holy Spirit to indwell within him. So that now as a Christian, he is now a follower of Christ. He now bears the name of Christ, and he will now testify for Christ's sake. And that is what it means to be a Christian, isn't it? If you say and if you profess to be a Christian, you are saying that you are a disciple of Christ. You are saying that you bear the name of Christ. And the name of Christ represents all of what Christ is. Right? His nature, his character, his attributes. And now as Christ bearers, as true blue Christophers, right? That's the meaning of the word Christopher. Christ bearer. Well, we must make sure that our testimony is consistent with that of Christ. Our witness is consistent with the name of our Savior. In fact, once we are born again, the Bible tells us that we should be holy and we must be holy as God is holy. Yes, that is what the gospel is all about, isn't it? When we talk about Christ coming to this world, Christ came to this world to deliver man from the bondage of sin. He did not come to deliver man so that man can continue to sin. He has come to deliver man so that man now is free from the condemnation of sin. And now with the Holy Spirit indwelling in him, he is now empowered not to sin, but to live a life of righteousness before the Lord. Now he is a person that is wholly devoted unto Christ, unto the Holy Father. He is one that is fully sanctified for the Master's use. And this word, sanctified, you can see it in verse 21, right? A vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the Master's use. Yes, a sanctified vessel. And when we say that something is sanctified, well, what we mean is this. Well, the word sanctified, the root word actually is where we get the word for holy, to make holy. And so, this vessel that is fit for the Master's use is expected to be holy as how the Master is holy, and now fully devoted unto the Master. And that is why in verse 19, right, which we have saw in the last sermon, we see that the Bible here says, "Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Yes, he is to be separate from all that is wicked and sinful. And that is Paul's desire for Timothy, who is called to be a minister of God's word. And of course, not just for Timothy, but Paul's desire is that through Timothy, the rest of the congregation at Ephesus, as well as the rest of the Christians in the world, may learn how to be not only a chosen servant of the Lord, a chosen vessel for the Lord. But the key down here is not just to be chosen, but to be choice. That is the key, to be choice. Choice servant, choice vessels. Now, how do we know that this is the thinking behind the Apostle Paul? That he wants Timothy not just to be a pastor, but to be a pastor that serves with distinction. Well, the illustration is given to us in verse 20. An honored vessel. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. This is an illustration which involves a large house. So this is not a house whereby you may see day to day in the region of Judea or some of the Greek cities, some of the common people, their houses. Well, you may not be able to find vessels that are made of gold and silver. We are talking about a house whereby the person is rich enough so that he can own all these vessels, or possibly a rich master. And so if you go to the rich master's house, you will find that he will have all manner of vessels. The word vessels here means utensils. All kinds of utensils. Some utensils are the earthen or wooden utensils. Now, he will use all these utensils for daily use. But if he is now going to entertain some guests in his house. He is not going to use all these wooden and earthen vessels. What he will do is that he will bring out his prized gold and silver utensils so that he may place them before his honored guests. These will be the utensils which he regards as of great value, of great price. These will be his choice utensils. Please understand that the comparison here in this illustration is of that of value and quality of the utensils. You must understand that when illustration is used, what is the point behind the illustration? Now, this illustration that is used down here, whereby silver and gold utensils are compared to earth and wooden utensils, is not to say that Christians should be proud and then to view others as inferior. Now, that is not what this illustration is trying to teach. There is another place in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Now, if you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, you will notice the Bible describing Christians as earthen vessels. Right, you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. And specifically, not just Christians as earthen vessels, but the bodies of Christians being earthen vessels. Right, so you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. In other words, what the Apostle Paul is trying to say down here is, we who are Christians, we have this soul, this eternal life, and we have this salvation, but now we have to live in this body of ours, which is as brittle, which is as temporal as a piece of pottery. And the reason why God did that is so that while we may be very frail in this body, yet it pleased the Lord to use all these instruments which are frail, which are humble, in order to work out his will in this life. And so that is how that particular illustration of a vessel is used in the context of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. So please understand this. When you look at a particular illustration that is used, understand the context in which it is used. Here, the comparison will be honor and dishonor, right? That is exactly what you see at the end of verse 20, right? So you have some vessels that are gold and silver. Gold and silver, obviously, if you have gold and silver vessels in the house, these will be the most prized possessions. These will be the ones that you want to display for the guests. Also, the ones is which you will want to display in the display set. And you won't put a wooden pottery there, right? Of course, this is talking about Roman times context. I know for Chinese, it's a little different, right? Chinese, we have our porcelain, very nice, earthen one, and then you design very artistic, and then you put there. Remember, this is Roman times, okay? Roman times, the pottery, the earth pottery, they tend to reject. Anything silver, anything gold, most precious. So these will be the ones that they will display. Guests come, this will be the one that they will put out. They won't want to. Now, if you ask the rich man won't want to bring out all his wooden or his earthen vessels. Imagine the guests come to the rich man's house and he bring out all the wooden and earthen vessels. What is he trying to say to the guests? You know that even though the guest is entertained, it's a slap to the guest. Huh? That means you are not my honored guest. Get lost. Eat this meal and go. It's a way to humiliate the guest. If he's a truly honored guest, of course, he will bring out his best utensils. That will be the gold and the silver, and then they will use it. And this will be the one in which the master will regard as choice instruments, choice vessels, the honored vessels. And so, therefore, the question would then be, how to be an honored vessel? How to be an honored vessel? Because if you look at the Church of God, you will realize that this is also true, isn't it? Every one of us, if you profess to be a Christian, you are called to serve the Lord. And yet, among the servants of the Lord, there are some which you know have received the honor of God. Why? Because as they honor God, God also honors them. You can see that God is using them and blessing them mightily to be a witness for him. And yet there are others, they may call themselves Christians, they may call themselves servants of the Lord. And yet when you look at the way that they serve, you look at the impact they have on people's life, you will see that the Lord's blessing is not with them. They are not, in other words, choice servants. And that is why when Reverend Toh used to teach in FEPC, talking about the various students that come through the halls of the Far Eastern Bible College, he would say, yes, indeed, many are chosen, but few are choice. Few are choice. Because if you look at those that have gone forth from the halls of the Far Eastern Bible College, there will be some in which, after they go forth, they just disappear and you don't know what they are doing. And later on, you find out that they are not even serving the Lord. Some, they serve the Lord, but they have served in a manner that is not consistent with the Holy Scriptures. In fact, they may even cause a disservice to the name of Christ. But there will also be others who serve the Lord with distinction. They serve faithfully. They love the Lord. And the Lord used them in the little corner where He has called them to shine. These will be the ones who are the honored vessels. And so what is the difference? Why are some honored vessels and why others are not? The difference lies in whether or not they want to heed Christ's call to serve in holiness. That is the key. To serve in holiness. When you want to look at how a person serves, whether or not a person is serving well before the Lord, you do not look at numbers. Please, never ever fall into the trap of looking at numbers. Oh, when this particular person is serving, oh, there are so many people that gather around him. His ministry seems to involve thousands and thousands of people, and so therefore this is an honored vessel in the sight of Christ. No, that is not how things are evaluated, because if this particular person has lived a life of sin, if this particular person has not followed the word of God, even though there may be thousands of people that flock to hear this particular minister of God's word, flock to join this particular person to serve in the mission field, flock to join this particular person to serve in a particular church project. But if this particular person does not abide in ways which are pleasing in the sight of God, then you cannot say that this particular person is an honored vessel. In fact, it is worse if thousands of people are attracted to this particular person and this particular person leads the people into error, then what has been done is a destruction of the testimony of Christ. That is why be very, very careful. There is a lot of deception that is out there. Especially now we have the prevalence of mega churches in Christianity. Thousands, thousands will flock to all these mega churches. But what are they teaching? Oh, it's okay to sin. It's okay to sin now. Why? Because you pray the sinner's prayer already, right? And so therefore, if Christ has forgiven you, then there's no need to ask Christ for repentance anymore. Christ for forgiveness anymore. And so therefore, you are free to do whatever you want. And what results is the lives of people, the spiritual lives of people are ruined. They are careless with their testimony and they go out, and then when people look at them, you call yourself Christian and look, you are no different from the world. In fact, you are worse than that of the world. Then you may proclaim yourself to be a vessel for Christ. You may proclaim yourself to be a vessel for Christ. Now, firstly, whether or not you are even a true vessel of Christ, we do not know. Because that particular person, if a particular person is so engaged in sin, he's not concerned with holiness, then the Bible tells us that the person may not even be born again. Because one of the characteristics of a child of God is he will be devoted unto holiness. So already a question mark. And even if he is, do you think he is a choice vessel for the Lord? He is not. He is not a vessel in which the Lord will say, I am well pleased to honor him. I am not pleased to honor him. Why? Because he has not even honored me in the first place. my pleasure is not with him. And so, with regards to, firstly, if you look at the context, you will deal with minister of God's word. He's also the same. He's also the same. There can be many ministers of God's word. There can be many pastors. But Timothy, you make sure that if you want to be a minister of distinction, then what you need to do is you better make sure that you are a sanctified vessel. And when I say that you are a sanctified vessel, that is the Apostle Paul, right, telling Timothy, when I say that you are to be a sanctified vessel, what I mean is this, that you are to be a clean vessel. If a man therefore purge himself from this, right, that is the word that is used, purge. And the word purge down here is a very strong word for cleansing. It means to be cleansed thoroughly and to be separate from anything that is dishonorable, anything that is dirty, anything that is unclean, anything that is not well-pleasing in the sight of the Lord, or in this case, in the sight of the Master. You look at the utensils, the prized utensils in the house of a rich man. Do you think the prized utensils of the rich man, especially if you assume that, right, we assume that the rich man will be one who is an organized person, do you think he will want to place his prized possessions together with that of the earthen vessels? Nobody would want to do that, isn't it? I mean, even if you go to the house of Singaporeans today, right, and then you look at their display set, do you think that they will place their prized possessions alongside the toilet paper, the racks? Do you think they will place your, right, some of you here are students, right? Do you think, let's say you win a competition, prize trophy, first prize in a poetry recital competition, Chinese, first prize, you know. Do you think you will take that first prize trophy and then you place beside your dustbin? Or put the dustbin, you know, straight at the display set? You won't do that, right? You won't do that. And so, therefore, with regards to the rich man, it's also the same. All these vessels that he regards as prized, all these prized utensils made of gold and silver, he will surely put it in the corner, displayed it, and it will remain separate from all those which are the normal earthen vessels. They will not mix. And so what the Apostle Paul is trying to say down here is this. If you therefore want to be an honored vessel, then the prerequisite for it is this. You have to make sure that you are firstly separated from anything that is unclean. Anything that is unclean, whether be it sin, wickedness, and what he will later say as youthful lust. You must flee from all these youthful lusts. And also with regards to any ungodly associations, please make sure you have nothing to do with all these things. And please take note that down here, the separation especially has to do with honored vessels separate from dishonorable vessels. Now, assuming that, right, all these are professing Christians, what does it mean? It also means that there is a place whereby there is separation among brethren, especially from those which are disorderly. Now, this is something which the people in Christianity today find it very hard to accept. You mean that I should dissociate myself from even those that do not serve rightly? Yes, of course, you should. Because if you do not do it, the Bible here says that very likely they are going to affect you, and in the end, you may become just like them. Separation from all these ungodly associations. You will see a example of this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. You turn with me to 2 Thessalonians 3 for a while. And you will see the basis of why separation even from some who call themselves brethren is necessary. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse 6, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every man. Is it every man? No, it says down here, every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition. And this will be apostolic tradition, which is based, of course, upon the scriptures of God. Right, which he received of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. And here the word disorderly means out of rank. Right? Just like sometimes when people march in National Day Parade, or not the National Day Parade, in a parade, military parade, sometimes you have one or two persons who do not pay attention, and then in the end they march out of sync. And then the parade commander will get very angry. Right, so if Amos is a parade commander, he will say, stop! Right, stop! How can you march out of rank? Redo! So that is the word down here. Out of rank, among you. Why? Because these people, how were they out of rank? Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. So what apparently these people were doing is this. They wanted to get money, they wanted to live off other people, but they were not willing to work. And you can see that especially in verse 10. If any would not work, neither should he eat. And if you trace what is written in the Thessalonian epistles, you will realize that the Apostle Paul has been talking about this even in 1 Thessalonians. And in 1 Thessalonians, the language that he used is as though he, in the past, has already said about a particular issue many, many times. So these were people that were recalcitrant. These were people that refused to repent. They were very rebellious. They were very hardened in their ways. The people, they tried so hard to minister to them, but they just refused to listen. And so in the end, withdraw, have nothing to do with them. And the whole point is that they may be put to shame, so that they may return back to godly ways. It is an act of love, actually. Because you look, finally, at the end of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, that you separate from them and yet regard them as still brethren. Take note of this. Okay? That is important. However, you withdraw. And you have nothing to do with them because they have done shame to the name of Christ. And so, therefore, they must come back to the Lord. At the same time, for the church at large, and for the person at large, he himself must be careful also to maintain holiness and have nothing to do with the activities in which this person is associated with. And so therefore, for Timothy, he must also be very, very careful. Any ungodly association, he must avoid. He must avoid, because there may be many ministers of the world out there, but not everyone is truly following the Lord. Some may be causing great damage. You do not cooperate with them. You do not associate yourselves with them. If you want to say a word, it must be a work of rebuke, so that they may know, and so they may come back in the right way. You keep yourself clean and be nothing like them. So ungodly associations, and also with respect to himself, how may he be clean? Well, verse 22 tells us that he should also flee youthful lust. And this flee can also be rendered, keep fleeing. Keep fleeing from youthful lust. Now, why youthful lust? Because Timothy, compared to somebody like the Apostle Paul, right, he was relatively young. Okay, he was possibly about age 30 or 40 during those times. And so, youthful lust would refer to the lust that characterizes those of that particular age. Right? Those of that particular age. Now, it's not that people who are older may not fall into this same kind of lust. Otherwise, the word flee, right, will not be used down here. Or rather, keep fleeing will not be used down here. Okay, so keep fleeing. So even when he's older, he must also guard himself from all these things. But especially when he is young, he should know what are the lusts that characterizes young ministers. What are the lusts that characterizes young people? Better be careful. Guard yourself from all these things. Do not fall into it. And remember, we have also looked at 1 Timothy, and we have also seen how it is possible that Timothy, due to his age, may feel uncomfortable even ministering to those who are a little older. He may be a little bit more timid in front of them, and thereby fail to truly minister the word of God to those of that age. And so, what the Apostle Paul is trying to say down here is, no, please don't let all these things affect what you should do for the Lord. Guard yourself against all these youthful lusts. And some of these things that which are youthful lusts, especially in the ministry, would be sex, power, pride. These three especially. Sex, power, pride. And what is true also for the minister of God's word is also true for any one of us that is down here. You want to serve the Lord, you better make sure that you are clean from all these things. From what the Bible has clearly stated as lust. And today we just talk about three, sex. How many a minister of God's word have been brought down by sex? Still continuing today. Keep reading in journals, keep reading in magazines of people who are now forced to leave the pastorate. Why? Because of an illicit, adulterous affair with somebody in the congregation or perhaps somebody outside of the congregation. Not with the wife, but with some other woman. And so therefore, cannot minister anymore. Try to hide. Even get people in the church to say, it's okay. But in the end, still have to leave. Because he has already dishonored the Lord's name. And so now, dishonorable. Power. Pride. Right? Money. Right? Power. The love of money. Power. Want to act like a dictator and then want to just get whatever things his hands can grab. Money especially. Very great temptation in ministry. Get a few dollars, wow, very happy. At first, think that join the ministry will be poor as a church mouse. Actually, that term poor as a church mouse, you have to be very, very careful. It may be true with people serving in some places, but especially in nowadays in the world, it's not poor as a church mouse. It's rich like the people in Sentosa Cove. True, rich like the people in Sentosa Cove. And please don't think that only those serving in first world country are rich. Right? Those who are unfaithful ministries in even in developing or undeveloped countries, also the same. They go there and they build their mansions and they exploit the people. In fact, sometimes it's easier. They go there and they build their mega churches. Oh, that is horrible. Money. At first start off, nothing. Then after that start to gain, and then people are pleased, and then they start to say, oh, the minister, oh, pastor, oh, preacher, or whatever, and they start to give their gifts, and then, wow, so easy to get gifts from members. Just say what they want. You get. And then, all these things starts to get in the head. Yes, all these things, flee from youthful lust, flee from the love of money, flee from pride. All these things, right? The minister should take note, and not just that, but also all of us, we must take note. Don't let worldliness come into your life. Worldliness will hamper your service. In other words, what the Apostle Paul is saying is this. You are not using service to cover up your sin. Please do not think that, oh, because you are very busy in service and so therefore everything is all right in the sight of God. No, in fact, it should be this, that holiness, that separation from sin is a prerequisite to pleasing and honorable service before the Lord. It is the only way in which our service may be acceptable in His sight. And so, with regards to our life. Firstly, do we serve Him with clean hands and pure hearts? That is the key. One very basic thing is with regards to the worship service. We come for worship service on Sunday. That is our most basic service unto the Lord. We sit here, we come together as God's people, we sing unto Him as a testimony for His name. But how may such sacrifice be acceptable to the Lord? Only when we truly come with Him with clean hands and pure hearts. And so, how to prepare for the Sunday worship service? The way to prepare for the Sunday worship service is not just on Saturday night. On Saturday night, I pray and then I prepare. No, the way to prepare for the Lord's Day worship service is what? You want to be an honorable vessel in the Lord's sight when you come here to worship the Lord? It's not honorable in the sight of whoever is looking at you down here, or in the pastor's sight, or in the elder's sight, or in the deacon's sight. We can just look at you outwardly and then we judge and then say, oh, you look very honorable, you look very godly, praise the Lord. Well, you may be able to put on that kind of facade before men, but importantly is what you are before the Lord. Are you sinning throughout the entire week and then you are not repentant in your heart, you are not even concerned and devoted to live rightly before the Lord, and then you come on Sunday and then you want to render your kind of service unto Him? Your praises, your tithes and your offerings, your prayers. Please do not let it be like this, because that is most unpleasing in His sight. You will then not be a vessel unto honor. You are not a sanctified vessel because you are not clean. You want to be prepared to serve the Lord on the Lord's Day worship service? It starts from the very moment the worship service ends on Sunday. And then, the rest of the days, you pray to the Lord, Lord, I need your grace. Help me to live a life that is clean in thy sight. Help me to flee and keep fleeing from youthful lust. Help me not to have iniquity to be named in my life. And then I know that when I come before you on Sunday, I will truly come before you knowing that I have done my best to walk with integrity before you. And now, Lord, forgive me of all my sins. Forgive me of all my faults. Help me to serve thee aright. Then the Lord will accept that sacrifice which you present before Him. You are an honored vessel. Of course, it's not only about fleeing from all these things, but there is also a cleaving. That's why when you look at verse 21, it's not just purge himself from this, he shall be a vessel unto honor, but the Bible also used the word sanctified. And if you want to talk about the meaning of sanctified, it's not just a fleeing from that which is ungodly, but it's also a cleaving unto that which is good. And so there must be also a pursuit of all these things. Follow, right? The word follow here means to pursue. Pursue after what? Pursue after righteousness. Pursue after faith. Righteousness means whatever is right in the sight of God. Not whatever is right in our own eyes, whatever is described as right in the Holy Bible. What God says is right, pursue after it. Okay, it is the manifestation of the righteousness which Christ has already clothed us with in this life, right? When we believe in Jesus Christ, He has clothed us with His righteousness. Now, this righteousness ought to be manifested also in our life in very practical ways. Can this righteousness be seen in your life? Well, pursue after it. Pray that the Lord will help you to manifest this righteousness in your life, and that whatever is right, please help me to do. Please help me to be committed to it, devoted to it. And I know whatever is right is whatever is written in your word to be right. I want to pursue after all these things. Faith, help me to exercise faith in your word. Help me to exercise faith in your promises. That when you say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, that all these things shall be added unto you. That is not just a theory, but that I will truly embrace this teaching and then experience it for myself in my day-to-day living. Faith, exercise it. Charity. Charity here means love. But why use the word charity? Because it's not just love in terms of that of an emotion or state, but this is love that is in action, love that was expressed in this life. You say that you love God, and you know that when you love God, you are supposed to love the brethren, you are supposed to love fellow men. Then this love, let it be expressed in our ways, in our conduct. Seek for the expression of love in your life. What exactly is love? We have studied before in the adult Sunday school, adult and youth Sunday school. Right, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And whatever is there, go and read and ask the Lord to help you to pursue true love. Not the love which the world defines, but the love of the Holy Scriptures. The love which is most demonstrated by Christ when he came to this world to die on the cross for our sins. Pursue after it. Peace. Yes, when we pursue after peace, it does not mean, of course, pursue peace at all costs. But the way to pursue peace, of course, is to follow the word of God. And then when it comes to fellow men, show mercy, show compassion. Don't unnecessarily quarrel. But work hard to maintain this bond of peace by the Holy Spirit. Yes, peace. And of course, peace, please take note, it's not just an absence of wars, absence of battles, absence of trials and tribulations. No, please don't think that that is all that it means, right? But peace really means what? Well, you find your satisfaction in whom? Find your satisfaction in Christ Jesus. He is now my all. He's now my sufficiency. I rest in him. That is what we mean by peace. I am no longer his enemy. I am his child. And now in this life, I get to experience it. Why? Because I walk with him. And I have close fellowship with him. And so therefore, he has peace. But once you don't walk closely with him, you know, the experience of peace is gone. And so, yes, young Timothy, pursue after that. And join with who? Join with all them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Those who are truly sincere to the Lord. And if you are truly sincere to the Lord, you will want to abide with the Lord with a pure heart. You will pursue after truth. You will pursue after godliness. You will pursue after holiness. Now, Timothy, find all these people and be close to them, cleave unto them, cooperate with them. These will be your best friends. These will be your best friends because these will be the people who are also honorable people in my sight. You follow after them and you will be an honored vessel. Cleave unto all these people. And so therefore, who are the people that you are closest with? Who are the people that you cleave to? Are they people that can be defined as these people who call on the Lord out of a pure heart, out of a sincere heart, no hypocrisy, no pretense, but people who truly desire in their life that they want to do the best for the Master? Find these people. Join hands with them. Work together with them. Labor with them. Learn from them. Follow after them as they follow Christ. That is the key. Young Timothy, do this. And instead, with regards, once again, to foolish and unlearned questions, which we have dealt in the last sermon already. Foolish is where we get the English word for moronic. Unlearned here doesn't mean uneducated. Of course, he's not referring to uneducated in the sense that a person may not know words or have a formal education. If that is the case, then Timothy will not be able to associate with what? With the Apostle Peter. Because Peter is also unlearned. Right? Here, unlearned means what? This person does not have a spiritually trained mind. Spiritually immature or unspiritual mind. Now, all these things that you know, all these questions that you know come from mind that is unspiritual, that purposely wants to put you in a position whereby you cannot talk about spiritual things. Questions that aim to attack the word of God, aim to cast doubt on it. Don't deal with such questions. Just earnestly contend for the faith, yes. But don't get distracted by all these things. Don't get distracted and then end up, in the end, you lose your testimony. All these things, all they do is gender strife. People will ask you all kinds of funny questions to try to trap you. Don't let them trap you. Just direct them to the Word of God. That's it. Don't fight fire with fire. And end up, you lose your testimony. Don't do that. And when you bear in mind all these things to keep yourself sanctified, then the Bible here tells us that the result of it is what? You will be meet for the master's use. Meet here means you will be useful for the master's use. In other words, if you are truly of clean hands and pure hearts, then the Lord will be able to use you in order to magnify His word, will be able to use you to magnify the name of Christ. Because now, others can truly see the light of Christ in you. Others can truly see in your life the beauty of Christ. Is that true for you in your life? Are you a useful vessel unto the Lord? You can only be a useful vessel unto the Lord if, firstly, you are willing to live a life of holiness, dear friends. Why is it that sometimes when we serve the Lord, it seems like we do not have the power to serve Him? Because, firstly, in our hearts, we are not devoted unto cleanliness. We are not a sanctified vessel. And if you're not a sanctified vessel, no wonder there is little power for you in the service of the Lord. Because if the Lord helps you, what is He trying to say? Oh, it's okay lah. You know, you can continue to sin. I don't mind sin lah. I don't mind sin. I can turn two eyes to sin and then you can sin all you want and then I will still be with you. Then what does that make the Lord up to be? The Lord can no longer be called a holy God. The Lord can no longer be called a just God, isn't it? He is holy, He is just. And when He has saved us, He has saved us to bear a good testimony for His name. He has saved us to be devoted unto holiness. But there you are. You are not clean. You are not wholly devoted unto Him. You are not sanctified to Him. And there you expect Him to grant you that power, grant you the grace to do well in the service for Him. In the first place, your heart is not even for Him. Where comes the power? Where comes the power? You are not going to be useful anymore for the Lord. You will be useless for the Lord. But for one who walks in the integrity of his heart before the Lord, the Bible here says, he will be useful for the master's use. And the Lord will use him in whatever way He wants. Sometimes the Lord may use you in order to minister to many people. Like some pastors, the Lord used to minister to many people. And then many people come and hear. And they are built up in the most holy faith. Praise the Lord. Right? The Lord used this person in this way. Some may use the particular person to minister. And then he may end up just like being like Isaiah. Right? We have studied that in the adult and youth Sunday school also. Preach, in the end, little fruit. But does that mean that the Lord did not use him? No, the Lord used him mightily, powerfully to accomplish His will. And sometimes that will is what? It's judgment. But was he useful in the Lord's hands? Yes, very, very useful. And the Lord used Isaiah to be His instrument, to pen for us the book of Isaiah. So that we may read, we may learn from this book. And that same principle applies to you, my dear friends. So clean life first. Not the other way around. Not service to cover up sin, but a blameless life before the Lord so that your service may be profitable. That is the key. And when you have that clean life, the Bible here tells us that you are also one which is prepared. Yes, you are also one that is ready to serve the Lord in whatever circumstances which the Lord may call you to serve. You are not walking right before the Lord. Then, when the need arises, pray tell, how are you suitable to serve the Lord in that particular area? For example, there is a newcomer that come into the church, or perhaps is a young believer. Now, you happen to know this particular person, you talk to that particular person, but the person seeks for somebody to disciple him or her in the faith. But then you yourself, in your life, you are not living rightly before the Lord. Now, how can the Lord use you then to be the person to disciple him or her? Cannot. You are now useless. And you are not ready, therefore, to serve the Lord in that particular area. How many have been put off from coming to church because of the fact that many are dishonorable vessels in the congregation? I just recently heard of one testimony that is like this. The person is serving in the ministry of the Lord. The parents, they come to church, but because while they were attending in the church, they were there because their son has all along been attending the church. Now he is serving full-time in the church. The parents, they all along followed their son, but because in the early years of the church, there was so much fighting and so much ungodliness and worldliness, and some of this is even in the leadership of the church, that now when you ask the father and mother of this particular person who is now serving in the full-time ministry to believe in Jesus Christ, it becomes a great stumbling block for that particular person. Are those that are involved in all these quarrels and whatever now going to be useful and ready in order to minister to these two persons? No. No. But we pray that there will be others whom the Lord will send their way, in which they can clearly see the beauty of Christ, and we pray that they will truly believe. And so therefore, dear friends, a sanctified vessel. That is the title of our message today, and an important question which we must ask ourselves. Are we such a sanctified vessel before the Lord? That is the prerequisite for service. Prerequisite, of course, for the minister of Christ, and especially if he wants to be a minister of the word with distinction. But same also, right, for you, if you truly want to be useful and profitable for the Lord, you want to be choice, then first, your life. Sort out your spiritual life. Abhor all worldliness and cleave to that which is good. Follow after those who are godly men and women and co-labor together with them. Have them as your best friends. And see how the Lord can use you to be very profitable for Him in the Lord's work. May the Lord grant us many honorable and sanctified vessels here in Tabernacle BB Church. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord God Almighty, cleanse us, O Lord, so that we may be useful for Thee, even in the extension of Thy kingdom. Forgive us for the times where we have not been concerned about holiness. Help us, Lord, therefore, to abide in Thy ways. And we can only do so if Thy Holy Spirit grants us the grace. May we, Father, live a life that is consistent with Thy word, a life that is truly worthy of the gospel of Christ Jesus. This we ask and pray in Jesus' most blessed name.